Welcome back to the Small Talk with the Chronicle crew. I'm Bailey Perkins, back at it again.
Hi, I'm Josiah Sutton.
Hey, I'm Hillary.
And I'm Brady.
Yeah, we've got special guest Brady with us today.
Yeah, get ready.
we are going to talk about some interesting-ish things. I think we're on our docket. We have teacher tenure, poorly managed class discussions, and Hillary has a pumpkin. For reasons that...
Well, there's Halloween coming up, right? So they have a pumpkin carving contest. You can actually win money, and I like money, so...
That explains the pumpkin. I'll do anything for $20, man. Like,
oh, that's... Anything. It's good to know. Please, write in. What would you like to see, Brie?
Please, write me. Speaking of writing in, I've been waiting for hate mail or some sort of mail from anybody. And nobody's written me yet. So, again, my email is btperkins@dmac.edu.
B-T.
Bravo Tango.
Perkins,
like Perkins. The restaurant.
Can you spell Perkins?
Yeah. P-E-R-K-I-N-S.
Okay.
Like the restaurant.
At dmac.edu.
Okay.
Perkins has a good late-night pancake deal. I've had that a couple times.
They also have that giant flag. Always know where
they
the Perkins
do.
Is.
Yes, you yeah. do. That's right. And they have good muffins.
This is, like, completely random on the subject of, and it's my dad actually once tweeted out, like, he's a terrible tweeter.
Oh,
like,
so your dad tweeted, so.
He just tweets out dumb stuff, and he's like, he tweeted out once, retweet if you've ever ate an entire box of Thin Mints in one sitting, and then under it said, how do I retweet?
How did that not go viral?
I don't know.
That is grade A material. Right? I think I'm going to look up your dad on Twitter after this and go back and retweet that because that is like, A1.
My dad like never tweets except for in reply to me because he follows my Twitter and it's just a sad face every time I swear.
I block my mother and my father on Twitter. But my best friend's mom still follows me and she's like really technologically...
savvy.
Not savvy. Oh. So
yeah.
Unfit to probably have technology. And every now and then we'll be talking on the phone and she'll reference a tweet from probably like 3 months ago.
Mm.
Because she only follows me and somebody else. So all she sees are my tweets.
Do your parents go through and they like look at all your old stuff and all of a sudden you've got like a like or a comment on your photo from 2007?
Yes.
Like that's
I don't think my parents haven't yet. My mom and dad will send me things about things I posted on Facebook.
My dad actually had me blocked from his Twitter because I always retweeted his dumb tweets. And he used it for business purposes and he's like, I can't have you retweeting all of my stupid tweets. And I was like, why? He's like, I'm going to have to block you.
Okay. We went and talked about that. This was a perfect example of a tangent, which happens a lot in poorly managed class discussions.
3 out of 10 on that segue.
The last bad transition I just left in because it seemed very natural. That I made a bad transition, you made fun of me for it, and then we started to talk about the topic.
Yeah, literally.
Which is literally what's going on right
now.
I literally listened to it the other day, and I said out loud while doing dishes, 3 out of 10. Like, it's like, no, bad.
Well, so, poorly managed class discussions are one of my biggest pet peeves. And today, I think our all-time record was 6 tangents in my class.
How do you count a tangent?
That happened today. Huh?
How do you count a tangent?
So we start talking about what we're actually talking about, like what the focus
is. Oh, like how many topics you go off into?
Yes. And a lot of it, it's really bad because it would be like tangents of a tangent. So like somebody will go off on a tangent because without fail, he lets the class just run wild.
Tanception.
Yeah, and then somebody will say a comment on the tangent, which will lead somebody to something different, and
see,
you just keep going, and it's like a never-ending cycle of dumb foolery.
A good classroom discussion would be like 6 theories of Kevin Bacon. Like, you went off on the tangent, and all of a sudden the professor's like, speaking of Halloween, you know what's a horror story is class discussions. Like, and then coming back. What are you going as for Halloween?
I'm going to be the dude from the Big Lebowski.
Oh, that's excellent. That's a throwback.
What are you going to be, Hillary?
You know, I have a couple ideas. I think I'm going to do pop art zombie hipster barista.
Okay.
So.
Okay. That is totally a hipster costume.
Yep, I think so. And I actually worked at Starbucks for 2 weeks when I was back in the day. Anyway, so I have the Starbucks actual apron. I think I was supposed to turn that back in, but. I didn't.
No.
I haven't.
But when I worked at Subway, they were like, you need to return it by, like, our policy, or, like, it was a huge deal.
Best Buy was actually
their,
that way. Yeah.
Like, shirts. Yeah, yeah. Like, their Subway shirts. Yeah, yeah, because
the shirts that just constantly smell like bread.
Well, yeah, yeah. Not that I wanted to keep it to begin with, but I think their fear was that I could, like, put it on and be like, yeah, I work at Subway, and, like,
or,
walk behind the counter.
Or I'm at Jimmy John's, look at me in my Subway.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Best Buy was the same way. They took their shirts back. That was a sad day.
Well, I have those embroidered with Best Buy.
Yeah.
So that makes kind
of... What would you do? Like, what do they essentially do with all those shirts? Like, say Best Buy goes out of business, like... What do they do with the shirts that...
That's a great question. There's somebody over there that works at Blockbuster. We can ask that.
Circuit City.
That's another good one.
Soon to be Applebee's. Wait.
Yes.
Millennials.
Who brought the millennials?
Maybe the millennials just think Applebee's is trash because it is.
What else have they ruined?
The
rings. Actually, I did see an article about things that millennials ruined. It was a collective of 40 different things.
Oh my god.
And it was like things millennials have ruined. One of them was like golf. It's like millennials don't want to play golf anymore. They just want to hit the ball and drink beers. And I was like, Topgolf? Yeah, Topgolf is literally golf. Like, just because I don't have to like sit there and aggravate myself over like how I'm hitting the ball doesn't mean like I'm not playing golf. Like, if I'm playing golf on, like, my PlayStation, am I playing golf?
You're playing a video game of golf.
I know, but am I technically playing golf?
No, because you're playing a video game of golf.
Yeah, but it is of golf.
Is
the video game called golf?
Well, it's, like, PGA Tour.
Okay.
I don't play. I'm just saying, like...
Now we're defining what golf is.
What is golf?
I feel like if it's on a video game, it's considered a video game.
I'm gonna look this article up. I'm just gonna see all the stuff millennials have ruined. Because, you know, there's obviously...
A lot of it's contradictions, too. It's like, millennials won't take crappy $10 jobs, and then it's like, millennials think that we should give them health insurance. It's like, okay, what do you want
from me?
What I found really funny with the Applebee's article is the majority of people I saw sharing that were these big conservative free market people.
Like,
no, that's the free market in action, man. Like, people don't like it, it goes away.
Yeah, the free market definitely determines how to distribute resources fairly.
In a totally fair way.
The article,
I mean,
right
think
now.
About fidget spinners. How important that is.
I'm glad that those are phased out.
I actually did see there. I think this is pretty funny. There's probably some like Chinese warehouse that has like a million of those just like sitting
in
there. Because like they mass produce those like so bad.
So my little brother turned 18 the other day.
He's a man now.
What was it?
He's a man now.
Yeah, he's a man now. And I took him to go hookah because I was like, you're turning 18.
Okay.
Not when I start over anything. And a friend of his came with us, and he's like, we gotta go to a vape shop first.
Oh,
and I was
no.
like, no. And I was surprised at how many fidget spinners vape shops had.
Really?
I didn't know that was a thing.
I didn't
but
know
like,
they
behind
went together.
The counter, there was like gold, like fidget spinners.
So,
I have to say, though, that I did use a vaporizer in order to quit smoking.
Okay. Can I just say this? One of the things that Business Insider says that millennials are ruining is a restaurant chains similar to Hooters. Why were those a thing? I mean, I'm not going to pretend like I go to Hooters all the time. I don't.
There's not even one in Des Moines.
Yeah, the old...
Well, Twin Peaks is the one.
Oh, that's right.
It's
I've heard of that.
I don't think I've ever been to Twin Peaks.
I haven't either. It's a boom.
I'm not going to a restaurant.
I've heard of that twice in my life. This is the second time I've ever even heard of that.
I'm not going to a restaurant because, like, oh, man, I get to look at boobs. Yeah.
I'm like a weird medium millennial, like an old millennial, right? I'm, like,
yeah.
right on
you're
the cusp.
Yeah, you're
okay? Right. So I've, like, been in the working world. And if you work with these dudes, like, my people that I worked with daily were, like, 42 to 45. And they liked that stuff. They were actually into it. And they wanted to go to those things and ogle women. And they would, like, rate women in the workplace and stuff like that. There was a joke about left swipe, right swipe as people would walk by the window. And this is not a thing in all workplaces, but that generation, it was, like, for some of them, it was okay. They felt it was okay. It wasn't okay.
I would say it's better in work environments now. It's not much better, but, like, most of the work environments I've been in, I don't see much of that. But, I mean, again, I'm also work at, like, a coffee shop with a bunch of, like, liberal hipsters, so maybe they're just a little...
I think it also depends.
Way, but,
Yeah, like, the classic salesman, like, was completely, like, different than what we would want a salesman to do right now, right? Because I'd want somebody to sell to me who's educated and smart about and knows what my needs are rather than is, like, the sleazy salesman idea, like...
Right.
Yeah.
Like, I don't care if he's weird if he knows, like, what he's talking about, you know?
It's like a weird, it's like a weird generational thing.
Yeah.
One of the things that millennials are killing is football. I don't get that at all.
I don't get
is
that
it
either.
The,
I was going to say
thing?
The protest.
No, it says,
like, all I could think of.
It says that the drop in viewership has declined since the 2016 election.
No, it's because we're...
And the protests. And that the games have gotten more boring.
It's okay, that last part's subjective.
In my personal opinion, it's always been boring.
Here's some statistics, and also I'm getting bored of football.
I think the viewership's going down because we're all binge-watching Stranger Things and Friends and other TV shows.
Well, and what has ESPN done to reach out to viewership who doesn't want to pay for cable? You know what I mean? Like, they've made their streaming services so annoying. And didn't they recently have, like, some kind of pay event where they dropped service for most people?
I think ESPN is just...
ESPN is just garbage now.
I think
let's just get that out of the way. Like,
I think it's boring, and it's... Honestly, I'm a big fan of Disney, and it just makes me sad to know that ESPN's owned by Disney, and it's such a trash
channel. What's so weird is, like, Disney's always had this reputation of doing such a good job changing with stuff. Like, they were the first to be like, yeah, let's put stuff on TV when, like, the switch was happening for movies TV. Like, Disney's always been ahead of the curve, except currently
and
now.
ESPN
and they're pulling out of Netflix now.
They're
so.
Pulling out
Disney
of Netflix,
is?
Really.
Yep.
Yeah, because they're starting their own service.
They want to have their own
service. I have
streaming.
A friend that's obsessed with, like, everything Disney and Disney World and Disneyland, and she told me this, and I was kind of upset because I don't want to pay for more than a streaming service.
I read a lot of their money is going to making a Disney World in China right now. A huge amount of money.
I could see that.
Yeah.
See, like...
China's
like with
really
ESPN, cool. Like, I mean, I'm just, like, this really gets me fired. This is, like, my wheelhouse. Like, ESPN is just dumb because with Watch ESPN, it's... You have to have a subscription to, like, whatever your, like, TV provider is, like, Dish, DirecTV, all that. Like, you have to pay extra for that. But it doesn't offer you any benefits. Like, you get to watch games on the go. You still have to watch the commercials. Like,
still
it's not...
Ads, yeah.
Yeah, you still have to see the ads. It's still terrible connection. Like, you're watching on, like, 240...
Right.
Like,
I found, speaking of, like, the piece I wrote for the... About the Anthem coming out. Something I found with that is the... Primetime TV is a big reason of why the protests are even able to happen anymore, because they switched it in 2009 from having players, like, still in the locker room on the plate to bringing them out.
Exactly.
And so, like, we wouldn't have the protests if it weren't for a lot of primetime TV.
Interesting. I also think the fall of ESPN could be related to, like, people don't want to see, like, artificial characters on TV talking about, like, the same thing. Like, if I'm watching ESPN, I don't want to see them talking about how LeBron did this, LeBron did that.
Well,
they
always yell at each other.
Well, yeah.
Which makes me uncomfortable.
See,
so have an educated conversation about the sport if you're going to have it. Don't
yell
across the table, across your horseshoe-shaped table at one another. Have an educated conversation about things instead of yelling at each other about it.
Yeah, and this is why I think, like, I mean, I get it. I'm white. I'm 19. Like, Barstool Sports, to me, I think that they're hilarious. I, like, love what they're doing. Like, they make it so, like, it's not, like... They're sitting at a news desk, you know, you got your papers, and you're like, blah, 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 blah. Like, they actually, like they make it, I guess, real in a sense, like, where they try and, like, bring it down to a level where you can, like, relate. And they don't keep it so G-rated. Like, they'll drop a couple swear words. Like, I get it. Like, I mean, they're not, like, perfect media. Like, they're in a lot of trouble right now. Like, it's just...
Well, I think they're in trouble because they hated on Casey's. I was impartial to Barstool until they did that Casey's Pizza Challenge.
I blame them for Jenna Marbles,
and then
I'm not, you know.
See, the funny thing is, no one wants to believe that that's how she got her start.
But it was.
But that's exactly how she got her start. She got famous because she had the Barstool name.
Yeah.
And
they promoted her videos.
The only reason I learned about Jenna Marbles is because I was watching Shane Dawson one day.
Oh,
Shane Dawson. He mentioned her. So he likes to play, like... There was a game he used to like to play with Jenna Marbles where he'd like mute the video and play music over it and watch her dance or something. There's a game similar to that he used to play that he told us about one video. So I looked her up just to get the joke.
Why does that feel like so long ago, even though that wasn't
it
long
really,
ago?
It was a really long time ago.
It feels like it. Like, how much things have changed since.
I didn't know Shane
Dawson
was relevant anymore until I watched. There was a video about... Well, I guess maybe not. But
well, I mean, if Smosh can stay relevant on Netflix, I'm pretty sure.
That is a good... So, there was
Netflix
a,
will buy anything.
At the streamies, somebody did, like, a song about all the YouTubers or whatever.
Yeah.
And it was, like, something was just as washed up as Jenna Marbles and Shane Dawson.
Oh, God.
It was something like that. That just was really funny because it threw me back to, like, 8th grade watching Shanae.
Going back to Casey's Pizza... I actually prefer sausage breakfast pizza. Bit of a hot take. I also think veggie breakfast pizza does compete. I think
they make veggie breakfast pizza?
Yeah,
yeah,
they just substitute the meat with like onions and green peppers.
And
but
makes sense. I've never
they'll do mushrooms if you want. Like whenever I get it, they don't do mushrooms. I think it doesn't lose any of the flavor. I think it's still delicious because I mean
it's about the cheese, right? Like isn't that the
Their sauce is literally like eggs and gravy,
well,
and cheese. So I mean, it's not necessarily a healthier option, but like I don't feel like human garbage after eating a whole breakfast pizza with veggies on
it. Oh my
god! I agree with that statement. I feel less of a trash human if I eat just cheese, like just an entire cheese pizza. And the Barstool video did comment on. This isn't an official challenge because I only do cheese in official challenges or whatever.
Yeah.
It's like, your opinion's still trash. Get out of my state. Like, do not come into my state and hate on the most popular convenient gas station store and expect to still be held favorably.
I've just always thought that that was so...
Eyes.
I've always thought it was so weird. Like,
he offended so, like, 4 million people in one sentence. Do you know how hard that is to do? Especially in Iowa.
The best part about that video, though, was Trent. He actually went to Iowa. He's from Iowa.
Yes, one of the guys.
He's in the Iowa shirt. And he would, like, during the video, like, Dave Portnoy, the guy who runs Barstool that does the reviews, he was eating a slice of pizza, just, like, you know, eating at it. You know, blah, 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 taking his time. Trent was, like, 3-4 pieces deep. He's just like... like, everybody's just like, that's an Iowa guy. He knows what's going on.
Well, I lived in Kentucky for several years, and they had a Casey's there. And the big competitor was, like, across the street from them. And they were both by the high school. So you could, like, tell who liked which pizza better by their cars.
Yeah.
One was, like, the Quick Mart, and it had, like, Godfather's Pizza in it. Which I just can't stand Godfather's because the one that they used to have in Burlington would always make my, like, give us food poisoning all the time. And then, like, across the street from the Quick Mart was, like, Casey's. And Casey's was 24 hours.
Casey's is made with love.
It is.
They're famous for pizza. It's a big thing.
I just think it's weird, like, in a state with 4 million people, like, I bet if you asked, like, as a sample size, like, 100 people, I bet you at least 75% would say that their favorite pizza is Casey's.
I'd say over 75%.
It's up there, yeah.
Well, like, your favorite pizza probably from Iowa, because there's probably going to be, like, those 5 or 6 people who's like, oh, I've been to New York. Have you ever had this little quaint pizza?
I've been to Chicago, and it doesn't need that so deep dish, you know.
Deep dish is good.
It is so good, though.
It is so good, but it is just bread with toppings.
It is just
bread.
I just realized we're supposed to be talking about tangents with teachers.
Yeah, no, every time I try to pull us back, you sidetracked us more. So I just decided to roll.
Me?
This is a good, in hindsight, which is 2020, by the way.
Yes.
I was right, and I just had to say, I told you so. And this proves my point.
Okay.
So well, that a poorly managed class discussion can lead to all sorts of things like this.
I mean,
maybe that's what my pumpkin will be. It'll be Casey's pizza.
Yes. Interesting.
We'll see who votes for that.
No, so what was your issue with teachers getting off topic in your class?
No, it's just so aggravating that I'm paying all this money to learn. I've spent so much money on this book that you testify that I need, and then we come into class, and you get off on 20 tangents, and don't teach me what I've come to learn, and then expect me to not fail your test. Like, what?
I think part of that has to do with, like, in high school, like, you didn't have to pay for any of your textbooks, and, like, I personally did not take high school seriously at all. It was a joke. It was, like... Didn't study for a test, I could still hammer out a B test.
I can do that now.
Yeah. Like, but now I'm paying money for my college,
right.
So I feel like I'm kind of obligated
well,
to, like,
in high school,
study
though,
and...
In high school, they at least stayed on topic most of the time. In my high school, at least. Mm. We didn't get off on many tangents because the high school teachers seemed to, I don't know, be able to control the class more. Maybe just I don't know why that seems that way to me, yeah. But we, like, if we tried to get off on a tangent, they would corral us back.
I think there's this weird culture in college that happens, and it's where everyone thinks their opinion is supreme and is validated, and so they want to share that opinion, and instead of being interested in listening to what other people say, they're thinking about the next profound thing that they can say themselves.
Yes.
So people will be talking over
now
each
that
other.
You say that, it makes sense. There's a kid that sits behind me in one of my classes that literally will just say, like, pipe up the most random, like, off the wall kind of thing, and he just treats it like he's the supreme. This is fact. There's nothing that you can say to make me not think that. And there's this kid that sits next to me, like, kind of catacorner from me, and he always just, like, to himself quietly dissects every single
thing. Like,
makes
sarcastic. I love those.
No, it's not even sarcastic. It's like he literally dissects, like, what he just said. Like, does that make sense? Does this make sense? Why would he say that? This is stupid. Why would he do that? And I'm just like, I want to.
That's a beautiful mind right
like,
there.
I want to leave
that's
all of
what
you
a schizophrenic
right
hears.
Yeah,
I
was so
quite sure.
To leave him today. But no, there's this one kid that sits across the room from me that every time one of them talks, we just, like, make eye contact. And we just know. Like, we have this connection.
It's like that look in The Office, like, when they're looking at
yes.
the computer.
Yeah.
Which I do in real life sometimes. I'll just, like, look off.
Well, and how does the professor, like, rein that in? Like, I've had professors that are terrible, and they just let that person dominate the conversation. And that's exhausting for everyone else there. And you know what? I think it's because they're scared of being honest. Honestly, like, they're afraid to approach that student and say, "You're dominating the conversation. Let's let somebody else talk." Like,
well,
whatever.
You told a story one day in the newsroom about one of your classes where the teacher would just, like, throw out a topic and then let you go wild
something. Yeah, so we have a professor this semester who's really into class discussion, and I get that. But it's not like, it's very laissez-faire class discussion.
Ooh.
It's not like well-organized. So she'll just, like, come in with a recurrent event, like, "What do you think of the NFL, like, protests?" And then everybody just gets screaming, and she just kind of nods like everybody's making good points. And then, like, about 10 minutes before the end of the class, she'll be like, "This makes me think of cognitive dissonance." And, like, pulls it in, makes no sense, and, like, class goes. See ya.
I love discussion-based classes. Acting one.
Oh, yeah.
The acting one that I had was really... It was really discussion-based. So we'd read a script, and then we'd talk about it in class. For our tests, we used to have discussion-based tests. So we'd all come in, and we'd literally talk about them. We'd talk about the script we just read. I mean, that was also... We had to act and stuff, because it's acting one. But it was a really great class, and I got a lot out of that because it was discussion-based. And I get a lot... I am a really big discussion-based person. That's how I learn really well that way.
Right.
So when it's managed well, I absolutely adore these classes because it makes sense to me. I had a social problems class that was sort of like that. It was kind of a hybrid between PowerPoint and let me read every word that I had typed and discussion-based. I got a lot out of that class because it was also discussion-based because you get a lot of opinions and... You can see where other people are coming from.
I think it depends on the content of the class, too, though, because as a person who's based in science and math in my major this time around, I had a professor who, Dr. Walkup at West Campus, she did a pretty great job of trying to come up with questions and generate interest in biology. But the problem is if you don't have students that have completely kept up with the readings and, like, if you haven't put the work in, which a lot of people wait till right before the exam to put work in, to understand these topics, then sometimes discussion and generating discussion becomes really difficult because you have to have the in-depth knowledge before you can talk about it. It's not like the NFL situation. Any SOB can, like, say anything about that. Like, you don't have to have a work knowledge of literally anything to have an opinion on that. But something like stem cell research might be a little bit more difficult to discuss. Or, you know, just maybe even that topic is something you can have an opinion on and know nothing about
informed,
it.
I think you can see your students strive under discussion. Like, you can see them make leaps and bounds in discussion-based classes if you manage them correctly.
Right. Mm-hmm. See, but with that, like, the worst part about, like, discussions like that is, like, there's always the kids who, like, Like, the teacher, like, if it's a teacher-led discussion and they're just like, hey, what do you think about this? Like, what do you think about this? There's always those couple kids that, like, don't know what they're talking about, and it kind of, like, in my opinion, I guess it kind of, like, just drives it away from, like, the original. Like, you can get on such a good, like, thought train of, like, you know, bouncing off each other's ideas, like, talking about stuff.
Oh, yeah.
But then, like, you'll get those kids back there who are, like, zoned out, like... I mean, I've been one of those kids before, but, like, it's just, none of those kids think it's fun to be in the discussion, because they're just, like, they probably didn't put the work in, like, previous to this discussion, right. And, like...
I don't think that's definitely not a professor problem, that's, like, a student
Yeah, that
problem.
Is a student, that's a student problem,
so I don't
problem,
think,
but,
I wouldn't count that to poorly managed, I think
but
that...
That's not a poorly managed, that's more of, like, it's a pet peeve that can kind of, like... I guess bring the teacher to be like, whoa, why didn't they do this? Like, okay, I guess I'm gonna have to call on someone else. And like, you can call on the other kid who's not paying attention, and then you just kind of like ruin the whole like train of the discussion.
Well, I've seen professors do that because they know they weren't paying attention. Well, like, what do you think about this?
Yeah,
and they'll be like, oh, it's like, yeah, that's what I thought. Never start listening.
Yeah.
That has to do with classroom management too, though, because if you are not expecting your students and setting up high expectations for students to come in and be called on and actually have to participate, because the only way it seems like you can motivate students in class is with grades sometimes and with points. Mm. If you're not adjusting to your students in your class in that way, then that's kind
you
of on
you.
You
have to be versatile. Any setting of a teacher, you have to be versatile.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that I've learned in my education classes. That they talk to the first day of class, she goes, I want you to think about your favorite teacher from high school or whatever grade they were in. And think about the qualities that they had that made you their favorite.
Mm-hmm.
And we all listed all of them. One constant was, like, just the versatility that they had.
Yeah.
Like, they were prepared for any situation, seemingly.
Right. The best, like, class discussions I've seen was in my Composition 2 class last spring. And part of it was because he had these kind of pre-prepared scripts, if you will, when discussion happened, where it was, you had to start it out with one of these, like, statements, which is, like, yes, I agree with what blank said, but...
Yep.
Or, I disagree with what you said, but... And it kept from that, like I was talking about with the other class this semester, it kept from the talking over each other,
right.
Yelling, and the, yeah.
Valid.
I
use those kind of, in my stage management role, I call them nice sandwiches. Because, I think that was a great idea, but...
I don't like that. I don't think that's genuine. I think you can critique somebody as long as you can say their name, number one, and say their actual point, number two. Like, you can't, not what you think their point is or not what opinion you're framing their point in, but
exactly.
What their actual point was.
But I think also that if you don't understand their point, I think it's fair to say the way I'm understanding your point is, like, does this... The way I'm perceiving what you said is this. Is
well,
that
and
correct?
That's a question.
What
yeah.
are you... Like, I'm disagreeing with what you said based on me not understanding it or me understanding it and you just making an whatever, you know.
Yeah.
I have a good friend who always says, like, he won't make an opinion about anybody's belief until he can tell that person what they believe and they go, yes, that's correct.
Right.
Yeah.
Which is a good thing.
Right.
I broke the pumpkin stem. I'm going to have
she
to
did.
Glue
she,
it back on.
Oh
it was disappointing.
She had this pumpkin for about 5 minutes.
Somebody did tell me yesterday when I picked up my own pumpkin because I'm entering two pumpkins. I would like to win both the group and the individual. Who knows if that will happen.